of the life of Elijah. The life of this prophet called by God to speak a word of judgment to Ahab and Jezebel, king of Israel. And we're going to continue with this wonderful life story of Elijah. So in chapter 19, beginning with verse 1, and we'll read through verse 8, and we'll think about it and talk about it, study it, but extremely practical for us. Here's one man guided by the word of God, and as long as he was receiving God's word and being obedient to God's word, the Lord took care of him. The Lord made sure that Elijah was kept safe and secure, and even in the midst of difficulty. But what happens when Elijah doesn't hear the word of God? Well, we'll have an account here in verse 1 of chapter 19. Now, Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and even more if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And he, that is Elijah, was afraid and arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take my life, for I am not better than my father's." He lay down and slept under a juniper tree, and behold, there was an angel touching him, and he said to him, "Arise, eat." Then he looked, and behold, there was at his head a bread cake baked on hot stones, and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise, eat, because the journey is too great for you." So he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. The word of the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this story of your servant Elijah. And Lord, how you used him at a pivotal time in the history of Israel, when the nation was spiraling down further away from you. Lord, you raised up your servant to speak and to challenge the leadership there, the king, with your word of judgment. So Lord, help us tonight as we look at these few verses. Give us understanding. And Lord, I would pray specifically that you would instill in each one of us extraordinary confidence in you and in your word. May your blessing be upon us as we thank you and praise you for what you will do. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen and amen. So how'd we get here? You know, Elijah's from Tishbe. He's a nobody. You know, he didn't merit the call of God because he was religious, highly educated, or from some good part of town. God just called him up and called him out. He is currently really living in the aftermath of God's great, just spectacular demonstration of God's power expressed on Mount Carmel. You know, you and I are accustomed to fire going up. Flames shoot up, but God sent the fire down on Mount Carmel. And God heard his servant's prayer, and God moved among those prophets. God demonstrated himself as the all-powerful God. God showed to everyone there that day that Baal, the god of Baal, and the Asherah that they had been worshiping for years, not months and days, but years and decades, that Baal was no god. He's a false god. And Elijah called the nation basically back to following God. God clearly demonstrated his strength and his power at that time to consume the sacrifice on the mount. And God used his servant there in a mighty way. But God received all the glory. And then something that the people had been waiting on for years, I think 3.5 years, right after this great demonstration of God's power, there was a little cloud. We read about it there in verses 41 and following of chapter 18. Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there's the sound of the roar of a heavy shower." My, my, after a 3.5 year drought, that would have been music to anyone's ears. And Elijah is telling Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, relax. There's the sound of a heavy shower." So Ahab went up to eat and drink, but Elijah went to the top of Carmel and he crouched down on the earth and he put his face between his knees. He said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." So he went up and looked and said, "There's nothing." And he said, "Go back 7 times. And it came about at the 7th time that he said, "Behold, a cloud as small as a man's hand is coming up from the sea." And he said, "Go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down so that the heavy shower does not stop you." In a little while, the sky grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy shower. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and he outran Ahab to Jezreel. Well, why not? Elijah had seen God work in a mighty way on Mount Carmel, and now there's rain in the forecast. So the blessing of God and all that God had done sovereignly to set this whole thing up, where he would demonstrate his power and that Baal would be proven to be no God at all, and that God would receive the glory and the honor. And you would just think that Ahab and Jezebel and their entourage, their court, as you might say, would see the light. There it is. God has demonstrated himself. Therefore, we now turn to God and we cease to worship the false gods, and we'll serve the Lord and we'll give attention to his word. And you would just think there would be a wonderful and mighty revival. But that's not what we read here. Ahab actually went back and had a talk with his wife, Jezebel. Now, we meet Jezebel over in chapter 16, right there in verse 31. It's important just to get the flow of history and to be reminded. We don't visit these verses often. I'm thinking for the rest of my ministry days, I may never get around to Elijah and Mount Carmel again. It's that rare that we are here. But it's good that we're here and we take the time to look at verse 31. It came about as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. He's talking about Ahab here, that he married Jezebel. And we read through that, we think nothing of it, but this is really the first king in a long line of kings here in the book of 1 Kings that were introduced to the wife of the king, the queen herself, Jezebel, right there. The daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians. So Jezebel was from a land of false gods and false worship and paganism. And she brings that into the court, into the royal court of Israel. The Bible says there that they went to serve Baal and they worshiped him. And they erected an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he built in Samaria. And there in verse 33, just to show you, just to give us the evidence of their waywardness, their rebellion against the one true God. I mean, these are people, these are God's chosen people. God has selected them as the people on earth to give glory to his name and to give a witness to the people around them. But no, there's no distinction between Israel at this point and the people around them. They engage in the same kind of false worship. Ahab also made the Asherah. Thus Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel than all the kings of Israel who were before him. And we've made note of that term there, the Lord God, the Lord God. There are several names in the Bible for the Lord. And here the Lord God is his covenant name. And it just reminds us that God always wanted a relationship with his people. The worship that he called them to was not to be by rote. It was not to be mechanical. It was not to digress into some kind of religiosity. It was to be a relationship between God and his people. And here we find out that Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God that wants that relationship. He did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel than all the kings of Israel who were before him. That's how far that culture in that day had fallen. So God raised up Elijah. He's a Tishbite. And he comes, and I want to show you something here as we read through. It's very obvious, but right there in verse 2, actually the end of verse 1, right there it is. Except by my word, so Elijah comes on the scene at the palace of the king. And what does he say? He says, he gives tribute to the Lord God. He says, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives before whom I stand, surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word. And that word was the word of the Lord. Verse 2, the word of the Lord came to him. So the word of the Lord is powerful in the life of Elijah. And the Lord came to him. The word of the Lord comes to him. It tells him to go to the brook Cherith. You know, if there's a drought coming, how's Elijah going to survive the drought? Well, God appoints Elijah to this place, this particular place, the brook Cherith. And he was going to drink water from the brook, and he was going to be fed by ravens. Right there in verse 6, the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he would drink from the brook. So while the drought is taking place, God's taking care of his prophet. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up, but there was no rain in the land. Well, that's right. There was no rain in the land. You would expect the brook to dry up. But you know what? The resources of God never dry up. I want you to hear that. I mean, we're used to looking at the balance in the checkbook, the bottom line. We look in our wallet. What do I got left? We are very used to looking at our resources. What are our resources? Well, we know the God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. His resources never dry up. Yours may dry up. His never dry up. The brook Cherith dried up, but there was another place that God would lead Elijah. And he told him, he said, go to Zarephath. And sometimes these places make no sense, and sometimes they compute, but not here, Zarephath. Why would you go to Zarephath? For crying out loud. Well, because God said go. The word of the Lord came to him, and verse 9, go to Zarephath. Well, there's a widow there. He says, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. That made no sense. I mean, how in the world would a widow provide for someone? They can barely provide for themselves. And this widow, of all widows, is on her last leg. She's ready for the last meal. And he arose, and what happened? God provided there. And then God raised the widow's son who died. And then God comes through again with more blessing. And God eventually leads Elijah to Mount Carmel. The point is that Elijah's following the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord comes to Elijah, and Elijah obeys the word of God. And it's so important. We've got this book in front of us. It's a holy book. It's a sacred scripture. It's God breathed. All scripture is inspired by God, meaning it is God breathed. There are lessons to be learned. There is nourishment to be had, to be taken in when we open the word and read it, especially when we read it with understanding. And so you see, Elijah, here's the point. Elijah thrived under the leading of God. When the word of God came to Elijah and Elijah obeyed that word, Elijah thrived. But we get to 19, we get to chapter 19, and we don't see Elijah thriving. What happened all of a sudden? Well, Ahab, you know, back at the palace, he's talking to Jezebel about all that Elijah had done. I mean, you got to think, Ahab saw this stuff with his own eyes. He knew God had shown himself strong. He talks about how Elijah had killed the prophets with the sword. And those were the false prophets who were unrepentant. You know, there is a harsher judgment for people who lead others astray. That's true. Read your Bible, scour the New Testament. That is true. So Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. So he's telling her all these stories and how he killed the prophets with a sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah. So Jezebel takes all this in. So she sends a messenger to Elijah. And what is the message for Elijah? Way to go. you're really something, you know, God really used you, thank you. No, none of that. No, what was her message? So may the gods do to me, and even more, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them, one of those prophets, by tomorrow about this time. In other words, messenger, take this to Elijah. Elijah, you're going to die. You have about 24 hours, so enjoy. I mean, this is a bloodthirsty woman. And she is after the prophet of God. She obviously does not appreciate the word of God. She obviously didn't appreciate the one true God, the Lord God, showing up Baal, the false god, and the Asherah. She didn't appreciate that at all. And so her conclusion is, Elijah, we got to get rid of Elijah. So she takes an oath, actually. If you want to look at oaths, there are several oaths in this story. And she makes an oath. So may the, here it is, so may the gods do to me. If I don't make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow at this time. And what happened to Elijah? What was Elijah's response? I mean, the Bible is very clear, gives us a real picture of Elijah at this point. The Bible says, and he was afraid. I don't know about you, but when I hear Elijah, if somebody just says that word, I automatically think of the guy in the palace saying there's going to be a drought according to the word of the Lord. That drought's going to last for some time. I see this guy surviving by the provision of God at Cherith. I see him in Zarephath being cared for by a widow and seeing some good things there. I see him especially on Mount Carmel, when the fire of God came down and consumed the sacrifice. I love what he said to Ahab when Ahab said, is this you, the one who troubles Israel? And Elijah, he looked right at Ahab and he said, no, it's not me that troubles Israel. Actually, it's you that have been troubling Israel. You know, what troubles a nation is not worship of the one true God. What troubles a nation is when men live according to their own understanding and their own invention and their own mentality and mindset and worldview. That's what troubles a nation. So Elijah, he has stood. I mean, this is the prophet of God. This is a man standing strong, but he hears from Jezebel, and the Bible tells us he's afraid. I don't know about you, I just wouldn't have expected that. It's like a first pitch curveball. I wouldn't have expected that. I expect heat on the first pitch, down the middle, or strike one. We don't expect that. But God puts this word here to instruct us. What did James say? James 5:17. Elijah was a man with a what? With a like nature as ours. And he prayed and it didn't rain. And he prayed and it did rain. But here we have that nature, his own frailty coming through. He was afraid. He was afraid of the word. He was afraid for his life. He was afraid of the word of Jezebel, and he was afraid for his life. And he arose, and he ran for his life. That just doesn't, we just don't put that in the Elijah profile. Listen, all the stuff that happened before this, yeah, God uses human instrumentality, but it was God using human frailty and human instrumentality with Elijah. God was using him, but it was God using him. God working through him. We see ourselves here without God. And I remember what Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And this is us without the Lord. This is us without his help. This is us when we ignore his word. We become fearful and we're prone to run, for our life. So he ran for his life. He's running from Jezebel, this wicked queen. And he came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. And he left his servant there. So he says, you stay here, servant. And he himself, that is Elijah, went a day's journey into the wilderness. I mean, he really is running for his life. He's looking for security. He's looking to hide. And the Bible says he came and he sat down under a juniper tree. You think things are going to get better for Elijah here anytime? Nope. What was his prayer? He requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now. Now listen, this is his prayer. O Lord, take my life, for I am not better than my father's. You could truly say that not many days before this, he was up on the mountaintop. And here we see him in the lowest valley. And trying to make sense of all this, it really is pretty simple. Is Elijah responding to the word of the Lord like he had so often on previous occasions responded to the word of the Lord? And he's not. He's responding to the word of a wicked queen, Jezebel. He's not dependent on the Lord here. He has taken matters into his own hands. And running for his life didn't help, because once he runs for his life, now he's praying that the Lord would take his life. Things just go from bad to worse. But listen, and this is really good news. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever seen a situation go from bad to worse? Elijah did. He doesn't really seem like very faithful Elijah here. I mean, and these words, I appreciate the honesty of God. Nothing's glossed over for Bible characters. We see them, flaws and all, warts and all. Start with Adam, Abraham, come on through the Bible, warts and all. But here's the word. God is faithful. God's faithful. God is faithful. You ever felt like you disappointed the Lord, maybe disappointed those around you, or, you know, one morning, one moment you had faith and God did great things, and then 2-3 days later you're in the valley. You're in the valley of the shadow of death. And this is common, verse 5. I mean, when you put all this together, I mean, he's at a low, low. So what do you do? What do people do when they get low, low? Stay in the bed. Go to sleep. Bible says he lay down, slept under a juniper tree. And behold, there it is. Behold. Don't miss this. Yeah, this was a low point for Elijah, but the message here is the Lord never forsook him. The Lord never let him go. Though he's running from Jezebel, he can't run from God. And the Lord's right there. This so warms my heart about our good and gracious and loving God, because I think I've been there, that low point. But look what happened. And behold, there was an angel touching him, and he said to him, arise and eat. Now, wait a second. Arise and eat? This man doesn't need to eat. He needs He needs God to tell him what fear of man does. He needs God to shame him that he would run from Jezebel and her word. No, that's man and that's religion that does that. You know what God does? God says, give him something to eat. And I would suggest if you're ever at that low point and you want to find a juniper tree somewhere to lie down and go to sleep, what you probably need is a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and a glass of milk. Get you something to eat. Take a walk. Get out in the sunshine. I mean, here's what we miss. In all that journey of Elijah with the Lord and going from one place, the palace, to the brook, to the Zarephath and the widow, and now you're out with, there's Obadiah and Ahab out looking for grass. With all that, and then Mount Carmel, listen, you know what's expended? You got to read between the lines. I'll tell you what's expended. It's called spiritual energy. It's expended. It's not unusual to be exhausted after a Mount Carmel. Not at all. It's okay to be tired. Continue to listen to the word of the Lord. Don't listen to the word of man and don't fear man. Elijah did. And the Lord didn't forsake him. The Lord was right there and had an angel there. There was an angel touching him. Listen, wasn't smacking him around. You've been a bad boy. Why couldn't you be more faithful? No, the angel's there touching him. And he said to him, Elijah, it's time to eat. Get up. It's time to eat. I could say a lot there, but it's time to eat. There it is. Then he looked. So Elijah had strength enough to open his eyes. And behold, there it was at his head a bread cake on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, arise, eat. The Lord is he's so practical. He knows what we need. And food isn't a bad thing. Arise, eat, because the journey is too great for you. Isn't that the truth? How many of you would say that today? Is it too great for you? I think it's a big journey, isn't it? The Christian life. Enter through the narrow gate, walk the narrow way. Journey's too great. It's too great for any of us to try to fulfill the purpose of God in this life in our own strength. Those are true words right there. You need some nourishment. You need some food, not only for your body, but you need food for your soul because the journey is too great for you. It's a big journey. It's a long journey. It can be arduous. It can be full of hardship. It comes with great risk. But to risk it all on Jesus is what? Not to risk anything. It's to end all risk. Because he brings us through. So what did he do? There it is. I like Elijah's obedience. We see it. The word comes to Elijah and he's obedient. The angel brings him the word of the Lord and he's obedient. So he what? So he arose, ate. He ate and drank. And he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. So the Lord is leading him away from one mountain, bringing him to another mountain. And he's doing this in the strength of the food that the Lord provided through the angel. For reference, Hebrews 1:14 talks about angels dispatched by God to minister to our needs. And I think the import of that verse suggests that this is without our true knowledge that God is doing this. which makes it even more mysterious. But certainly the Lord uses angels, good ones, to assist those who love him. So be encouraged tonight. Rely on the nourishment that the Lord provides. Pay attention to your spiritual stamina. Look for the word of the Lord. Live by the word of the Lord. Do not fear man. And continue to depend and trust the Lord. He will lead you. He will not forsake you. He wants good for you. He wants, if I could use the word in the spiritual sense, he wants to prosper you spiritually. So do not reject his graces to you. He is good. In our ups and downs, God is faithful. Every time. He will not let you go. I give him praise for that. Father in heaven, thank you for the time and your word. I pray again for blessing on your people tonight. Lord, if there's anyone or few here who are down, maybe they're by that juniper tree, looking for some spiritual stamina to go on, I pray, Lord, that they would sense your presence and your encouragement to go on, to go forward, to move ahead, and that they would do so obediently, and your grace and mercy would be upon them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.